Well, our friends at Touro University are always providing interesting guests for us here at JM and the AM. And generally speaking, I have a pretty good idea of the nature of the topic that we'll be discussing on the air whenever I introduce anybody from Touro University. In this case, I'm going to need a little help. In this case, I am anytime someone mentions AI, I have to, like, in my mind, go back to square one and figure out where this whole thing came from and where we're at today. Maybe this gentleman with us live via telephone will help me with this entire process. Our friends at Touro University have announced a new associate provost for AI. Dr. Shlomo Argamon is going to be integrating artificial intelligence into over 30 programs across 18 campuses of Touro University. In the last decade, artificial intelligence broke out of the realm of science fiction into real life, spurring endless headlines and debate among pundits, politicians, and scholars over its uses and its dangers. In 2024, Touro University will take a lead in addressing and shaping AI's impact on higher education by appointing American-Israeli computer scientist Dr. Shlomo Engelson Argamon as the nation's first associate provost for artificial intelligence. Dr. Shlomo Argamon, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
It's a pleasure to be here, Nachum. Thank you.
Now, is this the real professor, or is this a bot or some type of object that is acting as if they are the real professor?
Well, if I were a bot, would I tell you?
Obviously not. That's what scares me, by the way. Someone was telling me yesterday about a Zoom meeting. I think it was somewhere in Asia, a Zoom meeting that was taking place. And the supervisors, those who run the company, were making demands of this one employee, which were completely unreasonable. But after all, you know, it's your employer who's making these demands. And he went ahead and followed through on all these. And then it was discovered after this whole scam went through that original meeting that he had, he was the only actual human on the meeting. And the others were all being impersonated, by artificial intelligence. As you come on, you don't have to imagine it. You live it. You know about the dangers, and you know about the corruption, so to speak, that can be accompanied in the realm of AI. Anyway, that's what comes to today's topic, because before we get to what's happening at Touro and what you're going to be doing in terms of integrating all of these things into the programs and into the course study, etc., at Touro, you have to explain to someone like me, and I would bet other people in this audience, what exactly AI is. Is it a computer program? Is it an app? Is it a way of life? Is it science fiction come to life? How would you explain what is artificial intelligence?
Well, I'll start by giving how we in the field of artificial intelligence, and I'll just start by saying, you know, I was in AI before AI was cool, before the last 5 to 10 years when it's really sort of taken off, is we used to call AI is the science of making computers behave like the ones in the movies. So what we've been doing... Artificial intelligence is a field that goes back to the 1940s and 50s, where we're seeking to use computer technology to behave like people to some extent, to have intelligence, to be able to think, things like being able to play games like chess, as well as people. Now, chess machines play much better than people. And over the last 5 to 10 years, we've seen some new techniques within AI that have really quite amazing capabilities to produce human language, to write and to even converse at a level similar to human beings, to produce incredible images, realistic, fantastical, and so forth, that seem very realistic. And, you know, this is sort of a leap forward in the kind of technology. AI in general is a whole bunch of different technologies that can behave to one extent or another similar to human beings.
So
we have, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so in the example that I gave, basically somebody was able to produce a robot, an image, whatever it is, the word you want to use, that looked exactly, sounded exactly, and acted exactly as a real person who was known to this employee. They were able to create that and duplicate that person.
That's right. And that's one of the great dangers of the current technologies, is that it looks real, it sounds real, it sounds like an actual, you know, person out there that you know, and you have to be very careful with it.
Yeah, that's an understatement. So I asked earlier, and again, obviously as a layman, that's why it came out the way it did, is it an app, is it a computer program, is it a philosophy, a policy, what is AI? And it does sound like, in order for someone to take that leap, to have artificial intelligence write a term paper for them, to have artificial intelligence, I don't know, do their banking for them. It does sound like, you know, sort of like you would need some type of program, app, or apparatus in order to make that happen. Is that too simple of a way of putting it? Or generally speaking, if you have that conduit, then you're able to get to that final product you're looking for.
That's exactly correct. And there are a whole bunch and more every day of programs, of apps that use this technology under the hood to do all kinds of things. I mean, you can access some of them just simply over the web, some of them even for free. And there are, you know, huge numbers of companies springing up every single day,
right,
that give you various kinds of AI tools to do all kinds of things, that write your term papers for you and all kinds of things like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's dangerous. So someone can get a phone call, you know, from somebody whose voice they think they recognize, and they say something like, you know, you have to come meet me here immediately. It's an emergency, a dangerous situation. And then that person who goes and drives over there ends up in a very dangerous situation. Like, I mean, the possibilities are endless, obviously. It's probably what you think about all day long. But that's a very, and I will get to the positive parts of this in a minute, but that's a very scary part of this.
Oh, it really is, and there have been a number of cases already of people that have been scammed out of significant amounts of money and things by phone calls that they think are from close family members in emergency situations. I seriously recommend that people, you know, certainly with their close family, if to have some sort of code words or some sort of shared secret knowledge that you can confirm that it's actually the person you're talking to. It sounds like a spy novel, but this is real life now.
Unbelievable. Dr. Shlomo Argamon is with us now with Touro University, Associate Provost for Artificial Intelligence, believe it or not. All right, so how does AI work into the educational offerings at any institution? Obviously, we're speaking about Touro, but what does it mean when someone says we're using AI to help students or to develop courses or to be part of those courses? What does that mean?
Well, there are two parts to it. Okay, one is teaching students about AI, and the other is using AI to teach students more effectively. So in terms of teaching students about AI, on the one hand, what we will be doing and what can be done is to teach specific courses in the science of AI, the technology of AI, specializations in, say, computer science or software engineering, of how do you build AI systems, because that's a huge and growing area for technology development, but also to teach all students what we might call AI literacy, because it's important for every educated person to know about AI, to know about the risks that we've been talking about and how to deal with them, how to think critically about information that's coming in so that you can deal with those risks, but also how do you use these tools effectively in the professional environment, because just like it's impossible to get, you know, a decent job, a professional job, without knowing how to use, say, Microsoft Word, you're going to need to know how to use AI effectively, if not today, certainly tomorrow,
because
in all professions.
Because every industry is going to depend on AI to do part of their work or to help them, I don't know, cut down on human work hours or develop presentations that are even better than a presentation that a human being can present or could create?
Absolutely, absolutely. It is already changing the nature of many jobs, and it will change the nature of pretty much every job across the board in one way or another.
Does it make athletes better in any way?
It actually goes back to Moneyball. It's already been making athletes better, you know, from years back in terms of looking at statistics.
Yeah.
And this just takes it up on steroids, so to speak.
I'm just wondering if AI can make the playbook easier in football, or I don't know, you know, develop some type of communication system. I don't mean electronic. I mean spoken word communication system on the field that'll make it easier for the players to, you know, to process it. I don't know. I'm just, you know, tossing around some ideas here. But, I wonder if these types of things could actually affect. I mean, it's a world of sports. We're talking about a world of conditioning, a world of, you know, physical abilities. You know, how much of an influence can AI have on that? But as you just said, if you're going to go with the data-driven route, obviously Moneyball is one perfect example of that, where it could change the way people run their teams. I guess the way people strategize for games, right? I would guess. Like if the coaches already know the first 15 plays are going to be running this coming Sunday, AI could probably enhance that whole thing for them, no?
It's very, very possible. I mean, it's possible, you know, AI as applied to games, you know, board games, right, have discovered new strategies that the best humans never thought of before. I wouldn't be surprised if AI didn't find, you know, new plays in football that nobody's thought of before.
Right. No human can beat the best chess computer. Is that a fact?
No human can beat the best chess computer today.
Wow. And that was not the case till when? Like 30 years ago, could a human beat the best chess computer?
The first case of a human grandmaster being beaten by a chess computer in a real tournament was in 1997, when Garry Kasparov was beaten by Deep Blue. And this was a huge, huge thing. I still remember it.
Unbelievable. All right. So you mentioned that AI study is important to the students, and now we understand why, because as you said, comparing it to Microsoft Word, basically everyone's going to need to know some type of basic information, because they're not going to be able to get into an industry, any industry, it sounds like, without having been skilled in it. What about the other way around? How does this enhance? Can AI enhance the course and student experience at a university?
It can do so in a number of different ways. I mean, first of all, just like AI can enhance professional productivity in any profession, it can also enhance and help instructors and faculty to prepare course materials and so forth, and to enhance them with custom-made images and videos and so forth that might be created. But even more so, you can, for example, you can do this even today to some extent. You can take a textbook, feed it into an AI as training, and then produce an interactive version of the textbook that a student can converse with, almost like a virtual tutor. And with a little bit more work, you can make that tutor potentially personalized for the student, so it, over time, it understands what that student understands and doesn't understand. So it's not going to be as good as a trained expert human tutor, but it gives a student potentially a 24/7 personalized teaching assistant,
right,
to help them with the material.
Pretty amazing, I'll tell you. When if someone presents an article to you, a news article, mm-hmm, especially an opinion piece, someone presents an opinion piece to you about, let's say, the war in Israel as an example, can you tell if it was written by a human or by an AI apparatus?
Today, somebody who really knows and has experience with this can often tell the difference, not with perfect accuracy, but very soon it will not be possible to tell the difference with any kind of reliability.
So that could make the journalist, the commentator who spends 4 hours at his or her desk developing tomorrow's op-ed piece, it can make them obsolete because the AI computer could do it in 10 seconds, I guess.
Well, at least at the current level of technology and without some very significant breakthroughs, it's not going to make them obsolete, but they are all going to need to use AI in some capacity to do their jobs, because there is a level of human understanding and creativity that the AI systems do not and cannot reach currently.
All right, so who's at most risk? Who's going to lose their job first because of AI? Which industries?
I'm not going to speculate on that one. And my general belief is people are not going to lose their jobs. Their jobs are going to be transformed. They're going to have to learn to use AI. They're going to become more efficient and more effective.
So an accountant who uses AI, or I should say differently, an accountant who this time of year is sitting and preparing many, many tax returns, the AI the AI computer cannot replace them and spit out the same 1,000 tax returns.
Right. But instead of 10 accountants, you might only need a few using the AI to do the same amount of work.
Right. So it's more a manpower in the strictest sense of the word issue. You may not need 10 people. You may need 3 people in terms of actual human beings. You'll need obviously the technology and whatever, you know, technical setup you need in order to get the job done. Whether it doesn't have to be accounting, I'm talking about in any field. Well, I wonder if sales will be affected by AI. I mean, the guy who tries to sell me Yankee season tickets, he's not going to be replaced by AI, will he?
He's not going to be replaced by AI, but he might become a lot better at it because the AI will help him figure out what makes you tick.
Yeah, the truth is the AI might be able to identify potential customers who make quick decisions as opposed to those who take an entire season of hemming and hawing and wasting a lot of time on the phone.
That's right. That's right. And he might figure out the right levers to push to get you to make the quick decision.
Right. Very interesting. Dr. Shlomo Argamon is with us. He is the new associate provost for artificial intelligence at Touro University. None of your colleagues are worried, are they? Are they worried that professors might be one day replaced by these AI gadgets?
Oh, some are. I mean, the professors in AI are less worried because we're the ones developing it.
No, I know the professors at AI are likely safe, but I'm wondering if the biology professor has contacted you yet. That's what I'm concerned about, frankly.
And also, yeah, not yet, but they will. But I will say one thing important on the subject of education is that really at the fundamental part of education, and that will not, certainly not in the near to medium term, be replaced by AI, is the relationship between the teacher and the student. We often think of education as transfer of information, but it's a much deeper thing than that. And there's a relationship that's created between the teacher and the student in the best cases of education. And that is not something that can be replaced by an AI.
Yeah, but once the president of a university or the head of any school finds out that, in order to develop a syllabus, a professor does not need an entire summer anymore. Now they could do it, in 10 minutes online. There might be a different attitude as to what the workload for a professor is.
Well, I mean, that's something that's been going on for a long time. If you talk to professors, workloads have been increasing a lot over the last, 20 to 30 years even. So that's a constant ongoing sort of negotiation, if you will.
And you're making the point that many people make, the opposite of mine, that the more technology, the more work. Everyone thinks it's work-saving technology. It might be time-saving in a certain way, but for some reason, it seems people are busier than ever, even with all this assistance.
That's right. I mean, what happens is you save time and you get more efficient, but then expectations change.
Right. Are there better AI programs than others? In other words, let's say someone comes to you and says, especially at the university, someone comes to you and says, I really would like to enhance my history course that I give. Is there an AI, again, I don't know if it's an app or a program or, because I assume there's some that are really basic and rudimentary, and there are others that are really in-depth and worth the money. I'm assuming, of course, more money because they're so much more professional and provide so much more information. Are you able to guide professors as to which programs they should be using in artificial intelligence?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it definitely makes a difference. I mean, the question is, what specifically you're trying to do. And one of the things is that the quality of a particular AI tool depends not just on the quality of the AI underneath, but also all of the things around it that make it useful for a particular task.
Like?
So you might have, great technology, but it's like in a very bare bones shell that you have to be a real expert user to get something useful out of it. Or you might have a less sophisticated AI, but it has all the bells and whistles that make it really easy to get what you want.
All right. So, you know, I mean, this is an obvious one, that the newspaper industry, which, you know, has completely gone downhill, those companies that made the adjustment to online journalism early had a major advantage over those who waited too long. And I think, by the way, we could say that about our own schools. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why the Turo move with you is very impressive, because they're not waiting. They see what's happening down the road, and they're not waiting. They're understanding that, you know, that this is a situation that must be addressed now, immediately. And I'm sure plenty of other universities are not doing it yet. However, I think we can apply the same standard to our own schools in the Jewish community. When you see an elementary school or a high school that's implementing, you know, state-of-the-art technology, it's obvious that they are ahead of the game. And the parents feel that way, and the students certainly are benefiting from it. Are there schools in our community that you might be familiar with, and I don't need names, I just want an assessment, that in fact are ahead of the game on the AI front?
I actually wouldn't be able to say. As far as I know, you know, in terms of, you know, elementary and high schools using AI, that's still very, very new overall. And I don't know of any such schools in the communities that are doing that now.
Can it be used? Can it be used in a positive way at that age?
I think that potentially it could be, although I personally, you know, I'm you know, I'm a professor of computer science for over 30 years, but very, very hesitant to talk about the use of technology, certainly in elementary school. I think it's often used too much to the detriment of education. But if it's used well, it could be a huge advantage.
Wow. So we really have to be at the top of our game in every area of life. And if you're great at the state-of-the-art technology, that's only one piece of it. There are other things, areas to consider as well. Very important message, Doctor. I like that a lot. All right, now let's get to the final, and for our community, such an important topic. I can only imagine how many times you've discussed this. AI in the world of Torah study. And I guess the example that always comes up, no matter what the age of the group that is discussing it, has to be halachic decisions, paskening shilas, being halachic decisors. Already, I think you know that in our community, there's a lot of, oh, I Googled it and I saw you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, or I Googled it and this is us or is mutter, you know, that type of thing. And of course, we are not recommending that people go that route in general when it comes to determining a halachic status. With AI, it looks like it's going to be even more attractive to go that route, where you actually might have a program that, you know, that acts as if it's actually a halachic decisor. What could you tell us about AI and Torah study?
Well, first of all, to talk about the question of AI acting as somebody's individual halachic decisor, on the one hand, as you say, quite rightly, it becomes 100 times easier than just Googling something, right, but it also becomes 1,000 times more dangerous. You know, if we talk about, you know, somebody being Talmud Chacham, if they find 49 ways to be Matara Sheretz, the AI can find 49,000 ways to be Matara Sheretz and will convince you that it's correct. And so we have to be extremely careful in making sure that people know not to use AI in any way right now, certainly, to, you know, think through halacha unless you yourself are an expert. And this is generally the case with AI, is that it makes stuff up that looks good. And that's a fundamental limitation of the current technology.
Oh, that could be completely false, you mean?
Completely false, but look entirely convincing if you don't know what you're looking at.
Wow, that is dangerous. And frankly, I worry about this because people have become so reliant on technology. And the more we tell people, you know, that you should not allow the, you know, the full technical experience into your Jewish life, not everybody's able to follow that.
And right. Well, I think that's an important key point, what you just said. People can't follow it. So what we need to do is we need to find ways of educating people of how to work with it, not don't work with it, but right. work with it, but in the right way.
Yeah. Are we going to have a time when, just like the Lahavdil, I guess I have to say, just like the chess expert can't beat the computer, are we going to have a time where we might find some of the great post-game really being challenged by the computer post-sig?
I don't think we're going to find that, because there's the human element. There's the element of, you know, the... from what I understand, you know, and I have the privilege to have known somewhat, you know, some great post-game.
Right.
Psika is not a mechanical process at all,
right.
and it involves fundamentally,
right.
you know, the neshama of the individual Talmud Chacham.
Right. And circumstances do count, as we know. Circumstances do count when it comes to halachic shaylos.
Absolutely, absolutely. However, what I can visualize is that, just as today, nobody would write a comprehensive halacha sefer on any area of halacha without consulting the Bar Ilan responsa data database.
Right.
It may be that at some point, you know, anybody writing such a thing would consult the AI
right.
to make sure that they've covered all the bases.
By the way, I mean, you know, take a serious issue like brain death, right, which has been a major
yep.
debate in the halacha community for decades, obviously since, you know, the modern era of medicine became so popular, I guess we should say. I don't think we're going to be in a time very soon where rabbis will consult with AI just to see how they define these terms and what they think scientifically, just like you would ask a doctor or an expert mm-hmm. in the lab, you know, what does AI think about what this, time of brain death might or might not be. I'm giving an extreme example, but I'm just saying that just like, as you said, there are shaylos and tshuvos for centuries that are gone through in order to try to come up with an answer to a question. In this case, there will be consultation. You know, the consultation might be with a computer, but there'll be consultation to try to understand all the circumstances before rendering a decision.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty amazing, I'll tell you.
These are exciting times.
Yeah, I'm glad you say it's exciting. I don't know. It's frightening to a degree, but then again, any new invention, you know, always frightens people. It's been like that for, you know, since the beginning of time, that anything new is hard to get used to. My late friend Meir Weingarten used to say he's a Talmud Chacham 6 days a week, and I always I always think of that when you say, you know, people who have a computer think they're an expert on everything. Thank God for Shabbos. It brings us down to earth that we actually have to look things up and work things through and not just depend on an instantaneous answer from some computer program. So Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, such a bracha.
Well, again, no surprise. Turo has gone ahead and created the associate provost position for the area of artificial intelligence. Dr. Argamon is the person who is now in that initial slot. And the AI initiative at Turo in general continues to move forward, both in helping the students in terms of how they're learning and enhancing the course offerings at Turo's many campuses. This is something that will only get larger and larger, and this field is going to be one that we're all going to be enveloped by for years and years to come, to say the least. And you say it's exciting times, not scary times. I'm going to rely on your opinion on this.
Excellent.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and good luck with and mazal tov on the new position.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Shlomo Argamon, he is the new associate provost for artificial intelligence at Turo University. Fascinating. And leave it to Turo to think of formalizing this department or this position, and having someone actually responsible for the direction that the course offerings are going to be taking with the assistance of AI, and the direction that the students are going to be taking as they learn about and study this brand new, incredible computer technology. Pretty incredible.